The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
We are now presented by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking for a smarter way to hire great candidates? With ZipRecruiter, 80% of employers who post a job get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
I don't know who I'm rooting for here, Stefania.
I do.
Yeah, who are you rooting for?
Thanks, Stefania.
Are you sure it's you?
She didn't even say a name. That's right. So sneaky. That's so sneaky.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys, go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre Fantasy Advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
We are on to championship week. It's a Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. The crew is here. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Stefania Bell. Good morning, champions.
Good morning. Well,
future champions. No.
Yeah.
No one's champion yet.
No, but I mean, could be a future champion here.
Let's hope.
In one particular league.
Let's hope. We'll get to some of the updates of some notable leagues later on in the show. We could be champions soon, though. It's a fun week. Can you believe we made it to week 16 of the NFL season?
Very exciting.
Gone?
Very exciting. It has flown by.
We're collectively tired here at the show today. I've noticed it.
I certainly am.
I think so.
Why do you think you're tired? You stayed up late?
I watched the game.
That counts as
late. Caught the end of Monday Night Raw, too. That's late.
Did you really? How'd Monday Night Raw go?
I thought it was the night after a SmackDown pay-per-view, so typically not as much juice behind that Monday Night Raw.
Got it.
So it was okay. But they were in Providence, Rhode Island, which would have been fun to get to, and the pay-per-view was actually in Boston on Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
So I was unable to make it to that show. But,
wow.
You know.
Well, you know what? Luckily, it goes year-round. So
that's a good
maybe.
Point. It's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there for the next one.
Your schedule will free up a bit, and I don't know, February?
I hope so. Where's the wood? Knock on the wood. Anyways, so what's going on?
I'm a little under the weather. You can sort of hear it in my voice. I feel like it's coming back. Like, yeah. The problem with having kids, and there's
you
more
have
than
11
one
of them.
There's more than one. The problem with having lots of kids, like I do, is that they're little petri dishes, and they go to school and they get all these germs and they bring them back and it circulates around, and then we finally get rid of it and they go back to school and they bring their germs, and like it's the whole thing is just, you know.
Do you ever consider it's you?
No, it's not. I need to stop hugging and kissing my kids is what it is. Like, you know,
well,
get away
from
daddy.
Doting father.
Beth said that works against you.
Yeah.
Beth was talking about her adult child.
That's true. Fair. Well, I always say this. That I have five kids. My wife has six. So I'm a little under the weather as well, but I'm powering through.
There are some remedies for that.
Are there?
Hot toddy, perhaps?
No, I'm not doing a hot toddy. Everyone talks about tea and honey.
Wait, I thought hot toddy was a drink.
It is a drink. I know. These are good remedies, right?
Like adult beverage.
Right. And something warm, like, soothes the throat.
Ooh.
Like, this is, yeah.
What's in a hot toddy? You can't even tell me what's in a hot toddy.
Isn't that a very popular drink at Ole Miss? Hot toddy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it is.
I think that is the one that they do at Ole Miss.
I know that you.
I believe they drink more than just hot toddies at Ole Miss.
No, of course.
No, but it's like the theme.
That's
the
theme?
It's a big, like, when you go to school in the East, didn't you do this at Syracuse? Like, it warms you up for football games. You got all kinds of.
The hot toddies that I know of have been, and I know Keith just said it was rum, but it's hot water with honey and a little bit of whiskey.
Whiskey?
Yeah.
Where's the toddy come from? What part is the toddy?
That's just what it's called. I don't know why it's called that.
There's hot buttered rum.
Apparently there's butter and rum.
You can make them with different things, I think, right?
So you
do the whiskey version.
Yeah. I'll take a whiskey drink. I'll take a vodka drink.
I'll take a whiskey drink.
I'll take a vodka drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
Often
I go down. Yeah. Then I get up again.
We don't get a lot of Chumbawamba references here on the podcast.
You know what you should do? You should have Chumbawamba on your upcoming crappy bands that no one's ever heard of. Secret Squirrels, crappy bands no one's ever heard of podcast.
That one should be retitled.
Which is coming back, right?
It is coming back. We are going to be doing that in the off season here.
Wow.
Chumbawamba would be perfect.
They would be great. Let me see what I can do there.
Yeah. Can you recite the opening lyric to that song?
Well, doesn't the song open with like a monologue?
Yes, it does. That's right.
Donny boy.
No, that's not it though. That's not the opening line.
It begins with like a very like a prolonged.
I thought the music mattered. It's something like that. It's like, you know, it was something like that.
Daniel's
it's like,
in disbelief.
Right.
It's, no,
it
a,
is. It's something like
that.
It's something like
a...
it goes like, you know, yeah, I thought the music mattered. I thought it always mattered. It's something like that. There's something about mattered. Yeah.
Were you German?
I thought
or
the music
was that
mattered is a line. I can't decide. I can't remember if it's the first or second line, but it's like, you know,
Kyle. You've got a lot on your hands. Yeah, Get going.
I thought the music mattered.
Kyle's still trying to figure out how to spell Chumbawamba into the Google machine. He's not really sure.
It's one word. I got it.
Well, here's the reality. It happens to me regularly. There are some songs on my iPhone that I've downloaded through iTunes that, like, when they pop up, when I have my songs on shuffle, they pop up. Like, if they have a long intro, I'm like, what song is this? Why did I download it?
Right.
Nothing exemplifies that phenomenon more than that song by Tub Thumper.
The song is called Tub Thumper. The group is called Chumbawamba. You have Chumbawamba on your iPhone?
I believe I do have that song on there. Yeah, I'll check right now.
I know I do.
I'm pretty sure I do. By the way, for those who haven't listened to it, Darius Rucker has a phenomenal Christmas album, a holiday album. I've been listening to that like nonstop these days. But let me just Tub Thumper. This is riveting podcast.
No, hang on.
I'm going to be honest. I will be slightly disappointed if you guys have this song on your, like you've downloaded it.
The truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought the music mattered. And I know we don't have the rights, so you have to cut all that, right?
Yes, that is very correct.
So just so the audience knows what happened here, just take it behind the scenes for 1 second. So we didn't have an open. You can tell by that. Field's trying to generate something. We got nothing. We're all sort of, it's whatever. It's like 7:30 in the morning here. We're all, you know, we're all a little sleepy. We got into hot toddies. No one could figure out what a toddy was. And then we moved on to Chumbawamba and Tub Thumping. And then I played some Tub Thumping because I actually have it on my iPhone, as does Field. We both have it on our phones. And so we both played it, but we can't use any of that music because it's
protected.
It's protected. And poor Secret Squirrel is just like, what the hell?
Get me out of this.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
I think I need a hot toddy to get me through the rest of this show.
I was going to say no, but seriously, do download.
That's a great song. It's a great song.
Download that song and then download Darius Rucker's holiday album. It's phenomenal. It's really good.
Darius Rucker, friend of the podcast and a member of our celebrity league.
So let's get to some news before we recap Monday Night Football. And again, it's week 16. We're going to make sure we give you the stuff that matters. However, later on in the show, I also give you some names to look forward to in 2018. Let's begin with Ezekiel Elliott. And the news here is this. Ezekiel Elliott is eligible to return this Sunday when the Dallas Cowboys play the Seattle Seahawks. Before the show, Daniel said, Field, just do me a favor. Is there any way, under any circumstances, that Zeke Elliott would not be allowed to play? Which is a fair question, given how many twists and turns there were during this Zeke Elliott suspension, unsuspension, resuspension, vacated suspension, you name it. Here's the bottom line. Zeke Elliott is going to play on Sunday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, absent something happened to him in terms of injury during the practice week this week. He is eligible to play. The team will eventually activate him to the roster. Jason Garrett was somewhat coy about how they will utilize Zeke Elliott this week. I have a feeling that how they're going to utilize him is this. 30 touches. Make him the focal point of their offense. Everybody else is barely clinging on to the energy needed to get through 17 weeks of the season. Zeke Elliott's been in Mexico for the past 6 weeks training. I get the feeling Zeke is going to be heavily utilized this Sunday.
I just like you using the phrase Jason Garrett was coy, which, by the way, I think is a fair assessment.
It is,
but it seems I always feel like Jason Garrett's at his press conference going, "Ooh, I don't know." that was my coy voice. I would agree with you. I would agree with your assessment there, Field Yates. I think a heavy workload for Ezekiel Elliott, and it would be insane not to assume it. If you have made the finals and he is on your roster, you got to. I immediately start him. I haven't done my rankings yet. I don't know if you have. I have them.
He's number three in my running back ranks this week, behind only Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley.
Of course.
You can make a case for him at number one. Stefania, a couple of Chargers injury updates. They play against the Jets. They have one extra day to prepare because they played this past Saturday. Hunter Henry, though, all of a sudden with a very scary situation.
Remember we said yesterday he left with an undisclosed injury, and there was some question. You know, I don't think people really noticed it. Just went under the radar, and then we find out on Monday that he has what is reportedly a small laceration to his kidney, but any internal organ injury is significant, and as of now, they're saying his status is unknown for the remaining two games. I certainly would not plan on having him this week. I would start there. And then there's a chance that you may not have him for week 17 either.
Which could mean that Antonio Gates all of a sudden might be a more viable portion of that LA Chargers offense, Matthew. It's been a quiet year for Antonio Gates. But, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. He's certainly someone that Phillip Rivers would trust in the red zone.
Yeah, you know, you think about, you know, matchup with the Jets. They're, you know, they're not particularly strong against opposing tight ends. So if Hunter Henry were to miss this game, absolutely, Antonio Gates would be on the streaming radar.
Another player on that offense, Stefania, that's a little bit banged up right now, but a little bit more optimism for Sunday, is Keenan Allen, who left that game against the Chiefs, I think, on the cart, right?
Right. He was actually carted off, but we had said yesterday that he appeared to be in better spirits in the locker room, was walking around afterwards. Coach Anthony Lynn on Monday said he expected him to be fine. I mean, interpret that as you will, but it didn't sound like gloom and doom. Certainly sounded like it's possible he'll practice and potentially play this week. And of all the ironies, right? Do you remember when Keenan Allen had a lacerated kidney that ended his season?
Sure, of course.
Just a couple years ago. And then Hunter Henry, this is not an injury that happens particularly frequently in the NFL. Just really odd that two Chargers have suffered it a couple years apart. Right.
Although, in fairness, they were the San Diego Chargers when it happened to Keenan Allen.
This is true.
They're the Los Angeles Chargers. So it's kind of like two different teams.
Yeah. And by the way, I had just, like we said yesterday, I had just commented on how I was so happy that Keenan Allen had been healthy. And so I was a little disappointed for him if the injury was going to be serious. I'm very glad for his sake that he'll be, it looks like he'll be able to come back at least early on.
Good news for Keenan Allen. One more piece of news here, Stefania, and it's less related to the player involved, but maybe the player in front of him on the depth chart. James Conner, the Pittsburgh Steelers backup running back, looks like he could miss some time.
And he's expected to undergo knee surgery, and so you're not going to have him for the rest of the fantasy playoffs. And you weren't starting him, of course, but he's the backup to that number one running back, Le'Veon Bell. So that means you have to have someone else for insurance if Le'Veon Bell is on your roster.
The answer would be Fitzgerald Toussaint, Field Yates. So obviously Le'Veon Bell, fully healthy, expected to play this Sunday, but ESPN standard leagues go to week 17. It's a 2-week playoff. I prefer that, for example.
Like, you do.
I do, and I'll tell you what, I get the week 17 thing. So, I mean, I think in an ideal scenario, actually your playoffs would end 1 week early. Your regular season would end 1 week early,
okay.
And you would do weeks 13 and 14 would be your semifinals,
yep.
And then 15 and 16 would be your finals. And the reason for this is, like, if you, I don't know, face Todd Gurley this week, you're like, I've had a great season. I'm the number one seed. I've rocked and rolled. And then all of a sudden you run into a buzzsaw of Todd Gurley. It just, it minimizes over a 2-game stretch. I think the better team usually wins. And then it minimizes those times when you face like a Todd Gurley or a, right. Or a Kareem Hunt kind of thing.
I disagree pretty wholeheartedly for the simple reason that Week 17 almost every year introduces a significant swath of stars who aren't playing.
I agree.
I mean, like, all of a sudden we're talking about the possibility of the Eagles could have everything clinched by this weekend. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but, like, what if all of a sudden you're having to choose between, like, hey, Alshon Jeffery catching passes from Nate Sudfeld, you know? Much different tenor to Week 17, potentially. I that's why I think Week 16 is a nice cutoff point.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying my argument is like, I'm with you. I hear you on Week 17. My argument is like, do it. So in the regular season, in week 12, do a 2-week playoff, week 13, 14,
yep.
And then 15, 16. So we're still ending in week 16.
Saying, okay, I'm
saying you can customize your league.
Gotcha.
So that your fantasy regular season ends in week 12. So it's one less week of playing. So that's the quote downside,
13,
if you
14,
will.
15,
but so 13, 14, and then 15, 16. And then you've got those playoffs. And again, right. So that you don't have like a Todd Gurley situation, which I saw that a lot over the course of the season where, you know, good teams lost because it's just, how do you compete with like a crazy 4-touchdown game? You know, that kind of thing. That's, sure. That's just sort of my, I like the 2 week playoff is what I'm saying here.
Understood on that. Let's review last night's game where the Atlanta Falcons take care of business. They win 24-21 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A game that actually had a chance to go into overtime. Patrick Murray for the Bucs missed a 54-yard field goal as time expired. For the Falcons, it was a massive Devontae Freeman night. There was no Tevin Coleman, so you expected him to be busy, and he was terrific. 27 total touches, 126 yards, plus a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 68 yards on 7 targets, and believe it or not, this night could have been even better.
Yeah, fumbled going into the end zone, and I mean, got hit a little bit, but not just, you know, one of those plays. And you know, Atlanta recovers in the end zone. Right. I believe it was Levine Toilolo.
Correct. Who got 6 fantasy points for that?
But so yeah, it could have been even bigger, unfortunately, for Devontae Freeman. But certainly, you can't complain about over 30 fantasy points. Just. You know, he was so great early on, and then there was a little bit of a lull there in the middle of the season. But just when you need him, Freeman coming back and establishing himself as a legit RB1. My suspicion is that next year in our rankings, he will be, you know, somewhere in that 8 to 12 range among running backs.
Agreed on that. Matt Ryan had a pretty quiet day, which, again, has been sort of customary for Matt Ryan this season. 17 for 31, 212 yards, 1 touchdown pass, 15.4 points. If you've made it this far, again, it has been in spite of Matt Ryan, not because of him.
I don't know if you were moving on. I don't know how.
No, you're not. You're not playing him. I was going to answer your question before you even
100%.
Asked it.
100%.
Yep.
No, welcome to Dumpsville, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
So Thirsty Kyle dug this one up, and I like this one quite a bit. There have been 143 instances in which a quarterback scored 18.5 fantasy points or more in a game this season. 143 instances. 39 different quarterbacks.
Yep.
Matt Ryan, not on that list.
Not on
I mean,
that
it's unbelievable. 4 straight games without multiple touchdown passes. Like, this was Tampa Bay, dude. This is one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. One of the worst defenses.
No Jerry McCoy, no Levante David. Yeah. A bad secondary. The perfect matchup. Beautiful weather out there last night. Everything worked in Matt Ryan's favor, and he didn't deliver. So, nope, you are not starting Matt Ryan if you're playing any final, a consolation final, a
47% people played him on ESPN leagues. Like, basically half the leagues.
Yeah, he was started in half the leagues on ESPN.com. Right. Quiet night for Julio Jones last night. All of it came in the first half. 3 catches for 54 yards. You know, it's like, even when he has 3 for 54, there are he still had 1 catch. You're just like, he bulldozed dudes.
Right.
Like, when you see him do stuff, and I saw Tim Hasselbeck quote Herm Edwards on Monday, and he was like, you know, something to the effect of, Herm said, find number 11, get him the ball.
Right.
That
right.
should be your offensive philosophy.
Right.
And it wasn't again last night for Atlanta. 3 catches on 8 targets.
I mean, they tried. Still, there were a couple of, he came close to a couple of big plays.
Yeah,
took a couple of shots here. But I said this in the pre-show meeting, and I this will come up on the TV show today later, ESPN2, 5 p.m. Eastern. Always available on demand on the ESPN app. Of course, I'm a company man. But Julio Jones, and I'm not talking about NFL skill level here, okay, because his skill level is off the charts.
Right.
I'm talking purely fantasy here. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones is the worst great player ever.
He has been of late, yeah.
This season, take out the 50-point game, right, which was insane.
Yep.
Julio Jones is wide receiver 27.
I know. Trust me, I'm already agonizing over
him. On a points per game basis, without that one outlier game, which is just insane.
Yep.
But part of it, like last night, I was so frustrated when that ball was
underthrown. Wide receiver 27.
Because that would have been a big play. Totally changes the narrative. Yep. Granted, he had a drop, and he's had a couple. But the
I'm not saying it's all on him.
No. But usually, there have been a lot of times this year where Matt Ryan has underthrown the ball.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's been terrible this year.
I know. So I feel like some of that rating should go to Matt Ryan not to Julio.
Julio is very, very talented. And by the way, when I say Matt Ryan's been terrible, Matt Ryan has been terrible compared to his normally high standards.
Correct.
Let's be clear about that,
obviously.
Incredible
standard for himself. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
That he set for himself. And the play calling hasn't been there. There have been some bad breaks that have gone the Falcons' way. There have been some drops. It's a collective team effort. He doesn't get
offense.
Nearly as many red zone targets as you would like him to. But the fact of the matter is just from a purely fantasy football perspective, Julio Jones is like the worst great player ever. Because again, with that kind of talent, that kind of offense, that kind of quarterback, he should be better than wide receiver 27. Other than the one game skews your view of it. And that was an amazing game, but like, you know, when you use a first round draft pick, when you use a top 5 pick on Julio Jones, you want more than, you know, 8.4 fantasy points in a cake matchup in the fantasy semifinals.
It does not get easier next week as they play the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. That means Marshawn Lattimore. Moving along to a couple other notes here. Mohamed Sanu, 2 catches, 23 yards. So quite nice for Sanu, who the last time they played the Buccaneers actually had a touchdown pass on top of his productive day as a receiver. Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, he was a monster last night. 25.8 points, 299 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Really, really good from Jameis. You probably didn't start him. He's not a player that we have relied upon heavily in terms of starting, but I made this point in the pre-show meeting as well. Every option that we laid out as a reasonable one to replace Carson Wentz. And I'm not trying to pat ourselves on our back. It's incredible how everyone worked out, right?
Right.
The names that we noted, Aaron Rodgers, who's still available. On the waiver wire, I said, listen, these guys don't qualify for the list, but Case Keenum, Jameis Winston are at like 40% available. Both of them were terrific. And then Nick Foles,
Blake Bortles,
Jimmy Garoppolo, like all those guys got you at least 19 points. Believe it or not, you're able to fill in for Carson Wentz. So last night, Jameis Winston was really good, and it was nice to see Mike Evans, even though there could have been more points on the board, come through 5 for 79 with a touchdown and 8 targets.
A 32-yard pass was negated due to an offensive pass interference. He had two against him, but certainly the touchdown. And I'm just like, I don't understand offensive pass interference, Field, because it seems to be called differently, not just game to game, but play to play. Because in that particular play, the defender put his hand on Evans' arm first. The contact is initiated by the defender, and Evans uses his arm to get the defender off of him. So it's like...
Player to player. Guys who are oversized have a tougher go of it when it comes to OPI.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, he's a massive wide receiver. Gronk, massive tight end.
Yeah.
Those guys have so many of those offensive pass interference calls that you're like, are you kidding me?
Come on.
You know? So...
Disappointing, but certainly nice to see that. OJ Howard had one big play, gets in the end zone, shows you the potential of what it could be like with OJ Howard, Stefania, but then leaves the game.
Right. He left the game with an ankle injury, and obviously it shifted everything towards Cameron Brate.
Who also left this game briefly, did Cameron Brate, with a knee injury.
Right.
He
left in the first half, came back. He basically stayed out the whole second quarter and then came back later and finished.
4 for 49 was the final line for Cameron Brate.
But perhaps the most surprising thing about this particular game, Field, came before the game.
That's right. Doug Martin was a healthy scratch, reportedly because, actually, according to the team website, he violated a rule. He was basically benched, you know, I don't know, suspended, but, you know, he was deactivated. And Peyton Barber stepped in for 13 rushes for 53 yards, 3 catches for 15 yards. I think the reality is probably this. You want to start either one of those guys in a championship matchup? It sounds like Doug Martin will be back next week, which, like, for the purposes of fantasy football, if it was one or the other, you might have a bit of confidence. But with both on the field, I don't know how you can look at them and say, you know something? I'm definitely in on that player as a starting running back for this week. All right, well, these two teams, the Falcons, by the way, if they win their final two games, it won't be easy. They have the Saints and the Panthers. They're back in the playoffs, no matter what. They could still get in, I think, with a couple of other weird scenarios, but the Falcons have it all in front of them.
And I
don't think many people are counting on DeSean Jackson, but if by chance you thought you might, he also left, I think him and... one of the tight ends, they went out at basically the same time because they had only one table and they could only examine one at a time.
OJ Howard.
DeSean Jackson was on the table.
OJ Howard was sitting on the bench.
OJ Howard had to wait his turn to be evaluated, but DeSean Jackson injured his ankle on crutches and in a walking boot after the game. Certainly doesn't sound promising.
Trying to decide who's been a bigger free agent disappointment signing this year, Field Yates. Is it DeSean Jackson or Terrell Pryor?
Oh, it has to be DeSean Jackson. It's not close, right? Pryor was a 1-year deal.
Which wasn't a lot of money, yeah.
3 years for $36 million. For DeSean Jackson, unequivocally the bigger bust.
Yeah, especially considering their offense has regressed this year in a big way, and he was obviously supposed to help stretch the field. One thing, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but because the Falcons won last night, the Packers have officially been eliminated from playoff contention.
They sure have, and Rob Domofsky reported yesterday that the team is re-signing Joe Callahan, their third-string quarterback. There has to be a corresponding roster move.
And the expectation is maybe.
Well, I wouldn't say the expectation.
But Stefania, potential.
I'll ask Stefania. There's at least a thought that Aaron Rodgers could be shut down.
Yeah, I felt yesterday when I listened to Mike McCarthy and what he said that they were sort of setting the table for that possibility. He talked about Aaron Rodgers taking too many hits.
Right.
And that it wasn't good. And that they would have to do better than that, that they were going to talk and we'll see, and a lot of just tentative conversation. And here's the thing. If you're cleared to return, you're cleared to return. It didn't sound like he had an injury, but if you're weighing all the things in the background, in other words, it's not like all of a sudden he wouldn't have medical clearance, but what does happen is you have a conversation about risk versus reward. And at this point, would they say, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers made it clear. He's like, I want to play. I'm a competitor. That being said, the team may just evaluate all their options and say, you know what? We just would rather not have you play.
So that'll be a story, obviously, we track. And again, the news may come out later today. It is 8:27 as we tape this right now in the morning on Tuesday, Field Yates. But certainly we will get to the waiver wire portion of today's show in a little bit with some potential replacements in case Aaron Rodgers does indeed get shut down.
That is correct, Matthew. But it's time now for our Men's, Women's, and Celeb League update, courtesy of ZipRecruiter. So, Daniel, let's start with you in the Men's League. The finals are set.
Oh, the finals are set. So this week I played the official number one fan,
okay,
Thomas. Just to get everything out there, Thomas had Todd Gurley on his roster.
Got it. Wow.
So we know how that one ended up. I lost to Thomas 124.2 to 161.6.
Wow.
The frustrating part is on the other side, the number one seed, Wedding Vows Ford, scored 93.5
yes.
points, and the number four seed, Cartoonist Ben, scored 78.6 points.
Mm.
So if I had played either one of those teams, I would have advanced, but of course I played Todd Gurley. So
yeah,
good for Thomas. He will be taking on Wedding Vows Ford in the finals, and right now, man, I mean, having Alex Smith and Juju Smith-Schuster and Todd Gurley and AJ Green, Thomas just has a massive team in a 16-team league.
Congrats really to both of them to making it to the finals. Let's see them. Look, that's a two-week final, correct?
No, it is a one-week final because the
winner take all.
The
right.
winner of the men's league will play the winner of the women's league in a daily lineup in week 17.
How about that? So speaking of the women's league, Stefania, do you happen to have that pulled up?
Yes, I do. And wow, Anita Marks just crushed it this week. She had 194 points.
In 1 week?
Well, oh no, that's two.
But still.
I was like, I've had some two-week scores that are struggling to, you know, get over the double digit, the triple digits. But still, she had a performance this week from Cam Newton that was ridiculous. 30 points, obviously. Melvin Gordon, who else was a star for her? Blake Bortles. Oh, yeah, that's the advantage of having that secondary offensive
right.
position where you can load up with quarterbacks who are going to score for you. Better than her husband, Bijaya. She, unfortunately, lost, even though she had Todd Gurley, so she had the 44 points from him this week, but she fell 141 to 194 over the 2 weeks to Anita. In the other bracket, Name Game Drop Lee beats Bride Mom-to-be Bree. It was close, ultimately 20 points difference in those two. Name Game Drop Lee had an outstanding performance from Rob Gronkowski and yep. Le'Veon Bell this week, and Bride Mom-to-be Bree, even though she had 31 from Mark Ingram, she did not have a great performance from Jared Goff, who she was counting on. And so just couldn't quite hang in there. So in the end, the final is Name Game Drop Lee and Anita Marks.
There you go.
Well, congratulations to both of them.
Well done. We will follow that. Time now for the Celebrity League update. And I feel your pain, Secret Squirrel. I feel your Todd Gurley pain.
Oh, did you play against Todd Gurley this week?
I played against Todd Gurley and Yonah
Field Yates. You played against
Field Yates. Oh, that a-hole has Todd Gurley on his team?
So here's what's amazing. I scored 114 points.
That's not amazing.
Hang on. I'm not done. In a 16-team league, that is actually pretty good. I mean, Devin Funchess, you know,
good.
You know, 114 points look pretty good. Right. I mean, certainly, like, Alex Collins let me down. Devin Funchess, not a big game there. But Mike Evans, we just talked about this. Mike Evans, 16 fantasy points left on the table because the two OPIs and the touchdown have returned. Devontae Freeman has his loses a touchdown because of the fumble, right? Should have just been able to walk in. So that would have been 22 fantasy points, right? Even if you give me those 22 fantasy points that I would have gotten, I still would have lost to Field Yates, who put up 140 points on me. Todd Gurley leading the way, but big games from Tyreek Hill, Giovanni Bernard, nice pickup there. Garrett Celek off the bench for Stefania's 49ers.
I approve of that move.
Big Ben Roethlisberger and, of course, Todd Gurley the second. So the Spicy Tomatoes move on. Field, of course, was the number one seed in the league. And so, Daniel, as you mentioned, had you played either of the other two teams, you would have moved on to the finals, as would I have. But I did not. So I go to the consolation bracket, and Zac Efron was able to defeat Anthony Mackey, 113-101. So we have
the two perhaps, young, good looking kids.
I was just going to say, perhaps the best looking final in fantasy football history, Zac Efron and Field Yates playing for the Celeb League title.
Should be a lot of fun. Zac obviously has built a really nice team, and his team was catalyzed by Jameis Winston in the very end. Because this was a tight semifinal matchup. Going into last night's game, Zac Efron had Jameis Winston left, and Anthony Mackey had both Mohamed Sanu and Matt Bryant. And Anthony had the lead. So two players versus one, but a quarterback who's been up and down in Jameis Winston. So the 24 fantasy points for Jameis Winston propels Zac Efron to the finals. So looking forward to that matchup next week. Nervous. Yeah, I was always a little nervous going to the playoffs.
He's got
right?
Gronk.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
My hope is that the return of Zeke Elliott can fortify my backfield and give me an edge. So looking forward to that matchup in week 16. And I don't know if we have any stakes
It'll be interesting because you've got the running back edge, no doubt. He's got the receiver edge, I think. This is Zac Efron. He's got AJ Green. He's got Adam Thielen. He's got Evan Ingram and Rob Gronkowski. So he's got a nice group of pass catchers there.
Wow.
But his running back, he's had some injuries at the running back position. So, he's starting Danny Woodhead and Mike Davis.
Yeah.
So, not particularly strong there. But Field, it'll be interesting to see.
This is Field's second trip to the finals, correct?
It is,
in 3 years?
That's right.
Yeah, and he lost to Kevin Durant.
Right. Year one, I don't even feel like I made the finals because Kevin beat me so bad.
Right.
He beat me by like 50. That was a 2 week final, and I want to say he beat me by like 58 points. So I feel like I'm making my first finals, not my second finals in this league. So,
well, I wish it was me and you in the finals because had I played either one of those guys, I would have gone. But I'm the bitter berry. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you are bitter.
I am bitter. So I will say this. Field Yates and Zac Efron make a much more handsome photo. Much more handsome final.
We've got to find it.
We need someone to Photoshop a photo together for us, like some of our fans to send us Photoshop photos of Field and Zac Efron taking each other on.
Yeah. I can't say that I've directly corresponded with Zach. I know Matthew has, obviously, but I wonder, like, we got to find some stakes here, you know? Like,
yeah, I'll send out a note to everyone and copy you, and we'll figure something out. And maybe we can get Zach on the show. We'll talk to him. By the way, and just quick shout out to Miles Teller, who put out 156 points. Miles Teller, who had
so
just lost
badly.
The close one the week before to get into the semifinals. He'd made the playoffs. I think he was the three seed. And, he had Fortles, McCoy, Kareem Hunt, Nelson Aguilar. I mean, just, he had this huge
game.
He
put up 138 in the first round and lost to Anthony Mackey, who put up 152. So bad luck more than anything else. I want to say that, I mean, I didn't play in the first round, but I think Miles is the highest scoring team amongst all those that played in the first two rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, I do.
So, bad luck right there for Miles Teller, but we've had a lot of fun in the Celebrity League. One more week coming up. Zac Efron, good luck.
He doesn't really mean it.
He doesn't.
You're right.
He doesn't. Because
you know
one
what,
of them,
Field? I don't think he needs it because things are going pretty well for him.
You think about Zac Efron, right? So Zac Efron is like, he gets to star in movies with like The Rock, you know, and Field gets to do a podcast with me.
Does he have a new movie out right now, Zac Efron?
He does.
Yeah.
It's
I've seen the ad for it.
It's like it's some sort of celebration thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's they're all dancing and it's like a what is it called? I just saw
The Greatest Showman with
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, that's what it is. I saw the trailer when I went to the movie theater, so I saw the trailer on the big screen. I was looking forward to that one too.
Yeah.
So anyway, Zach's a good dude.
More singing and dancing.
I don't know who I'm rooting for here, Stefania.
I do.
Yeah, who are you rooting for?
Thanks, Stefania.
Are you sure? It's you?
She didn't even say a name. Yeah, so,
that's right.
So sneaky.
So sneaky.
That's so sneaky.
Totally. Like, I'm owning it. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for here.
Right.
Like, on the one hand, it would be great for Field and, you know, hey, the fantasy experts, the ones that are doing the podcast. Like, we should be able to beat, like, an actor. On the other hand,
like an actor,
you know,
come on.
On the other hand, but I have to tell you something. Like Zac Efron plays like in like high stakes leagues. Like he's a legit
skilled
player.
That's why you're like,
he's
like
a very
actor.
Legit player.
There's a lot of actors who are really good fantasy players,
oh, really
as do. We have found out.
Absolutely. Well, they have a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah, but also Zac Efron drafted shirtless from another country while flexing in the mirror.
He might have. Yeah, that's true. We saw the picture. But on the other hand, so it would be good for Field to win. On the other hand, you know, I like Zach so much. You know what I mean? He's just so likable.
He's like a second child to you.
He really is. And I have to tell you, my daughters have now discovered High School Musical. My 6-year-olds, you know? So like, which is, you know, so we're going through all that now. And yeah, of course, he's the star of that. And anyway, he's dreamy.
Yeah.
We'll give you the update on that next week. If you're trying online dating, chances are you've run into lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and random matches that just don't turn into dates. You can't get to know someone just by looking at their picture. eHarmony, though, is unlike many other online dating sites. They are built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships, not a shallow hookup site. They have helped over 1 million people find their perfect match. eHarmony uses years and years of science, data, and psychological research to send you the right matches. eHarmony, it brings compatible people together. There are plenty of hookup sites out there. That is not what they are. Right now, our listeners can get a month of eHarmony when they sign up for a 3-month subscription. Enter the code FOCUS at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to be in a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with other online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love. eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter my code FOCUS at checkout.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
We are getting dangerously close to the holidays, and you probably have somebody in your life that is a fantasy fan. Maybe it's even yourself. So the fact of the matter is like there's tons of stuff available at fantasylife.com.
Very cool.
There's apparels, there's hat, there's specialty items. We got tumblers, we got a box that we send you with a bunch of items that I picked up. Here's the great part. In addition to getting quality stuff that help you celebrate the fantasy football lifestyle, 50% of all profits donated to the Jimmy V Foundation, Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. So you help fight cancer and get a gift. It's good stuff there. So check it out at fantasylife.com. We have a lot of fun over there. So just please go check it out. Fantasylife.com. Also, by the way, I should mention, check out our Facebook page where we have a bunch of giveaways actually as well. So it's free to sign up. Just go like the page. It's facebook.com/Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life with an S at the end of Berry. So Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life at Facebook.com. We're giving away like 3 Bose speakers and a bunch of other stuff. So head on over to Facebook, just like the page, and you might get some free stuff.
He's Field Yates.
The waiver wire rolls along. It's week 16, but there's still some players to keep in mind for the waiver wire. If you need a quarterback upgrade, a couple of names of note.
Yes, sir.
Nick Foles for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I've still
heard
available.
Of him. 57% of leagues. He had 24 completions and 4 touchdowns in week 15. Carson Wentz, his career is still young, but he hasn't done that yet. Nick Foles is brilliant, and the matchup next Monday night is just right against Oakland. Now, let's note, if the Minnesota Vikings lose to the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night, the Eagles would have sewn up the number one seed in the NFC. At that point, it's possible that Nick Foles might not play on Monday night.
Right.
So you could pick up Nick Foles if you perhaps aren't feeling great about your other quarterback, or you could potentially need to replace Nick Foles, which will lead us to another quarterback option, which is Blake Bortles. 3 straight games in which he has thrown multiple touchdown passes while completing at least 2/3 of his passes. He had 4 games in his entire career prior to this run of doing that. He's been QB7 in terms of red zone fantasy points this season, and both of his remaining opponents, San Francisco and Tennessee, rank below average in stopping opposing fantasy quarterbacks. Blake Bortles has looked terrific this year. This has been much different than that 2015 season. These are not hollow stats from Blake Bortles.
I completely agree. Just from the eye test, you're like, okay, like he's playing like a real quarterback. Worth noting, however, look, the 49ers defense has been decent.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a cake matchup. Like, I don't think it's one where you're like, oh boy, you know, it's not Seattle from a couple years ago or anything like that. But 49ers over the last 4 weeks are ninth against the pass. Like, they've actually played some decent defense. They haven't played great competition. But I agree with you. I think Bortles is much more legit than not. Worth noting, in week 17, they play the Titans. So I do think Bortles, the rest of the way, actually, is a viable option.
I would have loved to have made room for Jimmy Garoppolo higher up on this column because sure. He's been awesome. 1,008 passing yards. He has really galvanized Stefania's beloved 49ers. The issue is he runs into a buzzsaw this weekend. He plays the Jacksonville Jaguars. In my initial ranks, I think I have Garoppolo somewhere around like 18 at quarterback.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Which is just about as high as you can possibly forecast a quarterback that's got 3 starts for his current team under his belt and just 5 in his career in total against this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. They are just that good. To me, the obvious running back add of the week is Wayne Gallman.
Yep.
He's averaging nearly 5 yards per carry, and he's got 13 catches over his last 2 games. There is only, I believe, 2 running backs in the NFL, Le'Veon Bell and player, I'm trying to think who it is off the top of my head, who's got more catches than Wayne Gallman at running back over the past 2 weeks. I actually specifically had Kyle look this up yesterday, and I can't remember who it is besides Le'Veon Bell. But the point remains,
he's in a sentence with Le'Veon Bell.
With Le'Veon Bell. He's third amongst running backs in catches over the past 2 weeks. I think this game against Arizona is much more competitive, but still, like, for a team that's keeping an eye towards the future, and with Eli Manning expected to start again, Wayne Gallman could be a second running back or a flex option in a deep league.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Worth noting the, in the Buccaneers, by the way, if you're looking for another guy, Peyton Barber, perhaps.
Peyton Barber, yeah, I'm a little bit more nervous about Doug Martin returning next week and the fact that, like, Tampa Bay running game still out of sorts.
It's not great. It's a matchup with the Panthers, which isn't a great matchup.
You know what?
How
about this? It's actually only Le'Veon Bell who has more catches than Wayne Gallman over the past 2 weeks. So
that's amazing.
Still in the sentence with Le'Veon Bell. With Rex Burkhead, and we'll get more information on that later on in the week, Stefania, but with Rex Burkhead at least uncertain for the rest of the regular season,
right.
Mike Gillisley doors open.
He didn't tear his ACL, but he still has enough of a knee injury and look, let's face it. We know the Patriots pattern with guys. If you just look at their history, when they are banged up at the end and if they're key to their offense and the Patriots already know they're going to the playoffs, they're not going to rush them back out there. So, yeah, I would plan on no Rex Burkhead for this week and probably next.
Which means that Mike Gillisley could all of a sudden have a role again for this team. He's been inactive for 6 straight games. But remember, basically the Patriots formula when Gillisley has been out has been this. Deion Lewis has been doing plenty of heavy lifting during the field of play, 20-20. But when they get in close, I mean, Deion Lewis has been tackled at least 2 or 3 times this year on the 1 yard line. Very next play, Rex Burkhead comes in as their finisher. Well, if those carries in turn go back to Mike Gillisley, who had 4 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks of the season, he might be, 10 points, which might be enough in a deeper league to flex him, perhaps. I would say this. I would imagine that he's motivated, if he does get the chance to play this week, to perform much better.
I would
think. Because in some ways, listen, at the end of the day, the check still clears, you still get paid, and you're part of something you haven't been a part of previously for Mike Gillisley, but it can be embarrassing, go from a player that had 4 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks to being inactive for 6 straight games. Martavis Bryant for the Pittsburgh Steelers with Antonio Brown likely to miss at least week 16 and perhaps week 17. Martavis Bryant certainly would be one that would have a larger role for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Keelan Cole is a great story for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has a touchdown in 3 straight games. To me, he's an upside play, right? He's a player that if you play in a deep league or you feel like your opponent has a particularly robust lineup, go ahead and add Keelan Cole, and perhaps he can get you 15 to 20 points because he has been just that exciting for them over these past 3 games. A great
story.
Marquise
Lee, hurt, and I don't think this time you're going to get Marquise Lee playing through the injury.
Matthew mentioned him yesterday. Robbie Gould also make this waiver wire list. He's been awesome over the past 3 weeks, and maybe you prescribe to the idea that San Francisco will be able to move the ball a little bit against Jacksonville, but not a lot, which could lead to plenty of field goal opportunities. I also wanted to include on this week's waiver wire column some names of note for 2018. And what I wanted to do was dig deeper, scratch beyond just the surface, because, listen, I could tell you a name like a backup running back. You know, Patrick Mahomes is an example of someone I thought of. But, like, if you play in a keeper league, the reality is he's probably been added. He was probably added back before the season even started, right? Like, players like Patrick Mahomes are way too on the radar, so to speak, to have already been added in your roster. So I tried to go a little bit deeper than that and find some names that, you know, something the reality is they may not pan out. But right. They also might be enough, there's enough talent there and good opportunity that they could be the kind of players that you add right now who are available and turn out to be pretty useful players for you. So I start with perhaps the most notable name this year, which is Trent Taylor for the San Francisco 49ers. He has been really, really good of late. No surprise that Jimmy Garoppolo playing at a much higher level. He's a fifth-round pick out of Louisiana Tech, and Pierre Garçon will be back next year. Marquise Goodwin will be back next year. But
they like Trent Taylor.
They love Trent Taylor, and, I mean, we've seen Kyle Shanahan offenses be really, really good for fantasy purposes time and time again, and Jimmy Garoppolo looks like the real deal right now. So Trent Taylor, wide receiver, San Francisco 49ers, one of two players on San Francisco to make this roster, list. Joe Williams is the other. And you may be saying to yourself, especially if you're a 49ers fan, but Joe Williams got beat out by Matt Breida before this season, which is true. It's unequivocally true. Carlos Hyde's going to be a free agent after this year. We don't know if he'll return. He could, but if he doesn't, Joe Williams will at least have a chance to compete for that job again. And just a reminder, before he got beat out by Matt Breida for the job, the 49ers, at the request of Kyle Shanahan, traded up in the draft to acquire Joe Williams, a player that was initially off their board, a player who Kyle Shanahan said, I want this guy on my roster. They moved up in the fourth round to acquire Joe Williams. You know, again, these are sort of like the deepest of or longest of long shots. I think Joe Williams deserves to be grabbed in keeper leagues if he is still available.
I like that call.
The last time we saw Malcolm Mitchell, you know what he was doing?
Breida's also a smaller back, too, by the way. Breida may be one of those guys that even if, quote-unquote, he wins the job, they may not feel comfortable with him being an every-down back, so to speak.
Yeah, and they could also have a Atlanta Redux, right? Two running backs, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman were great for them last year. Perhaps the same would hold true in San Francisco. The last time we saw Malcolm Mitchell, he was catching 5 passes in the Super Bowl. He was the trusted target of Tom Brady in one of the largest stages a player could possibly meet. He's only 25 years old. He was wide receiver 7 in terms of total points last year from weeks 11 to 14 when he got more opportunities. He led them in red zone receptions last year amongst Patriots players. I mean, he was the real deal for them. Now, he's got to get healthy. That knee issue has bothered him. The door is technically open to him returning this season. It seems like a long shot at this point, but a player that they liked for a reason. And I think when you have Tom Brady throwing you the football, it gives you a chance. Danny Amendola is going to be a free agent after this season. Julian Edelman's coming back from an ACL tear. We know that much. We expect him back next year, but you never know. The Patriots, they certainly admire Malcolm Mitchell, and I think he's a player that you should consider adding in your keeper leagues. Mac Hollins, his name popped up yesterday during the podcast briefly. 6'4", 221 pounds, and he was a monster at USC. 20.6 yards. What did I say?
USC.
Oh, I meant to say North Carolina's where he went, Mitch Trubisky. But he had a 20.6 yards per catch average, a player that Philadelphia liked a lot. And Torrey Smith's deal, if you look at it closely, is sort of like a series of one-year contracts, so he could have a role with this Carson Wentz offense.
He's had a couple of deep plays where you see that speed and that potential in Mac Hollins, to your point, had a very productive college career. And I think I've mentioned this before when his name came up. You can't always tell, one of the things that teams do when they go to the combine, right? It's the measurables and it's the 3-cone drill and blah, 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 blah. But they also interview players. They interview players. They get 15 minutes with a player. And part of that is to see kind of his personality, how they feel about them, whether he'll fit into the team and what they're trying to do and get a sense of them. And I have to tell you, so thanks to my friends over at the NFLPA, I got to go to the NFLPA rookie premiere last year. Mm-hmm. And I got to interview basically the top 40 rookies that they had invited there. And so, and you've seen some of that on the fantasy show. We've run some of those clips. And so, that's where we had the Kareem Hunt, you're welcome clip. Yep. That's where we got that from. I have to tell you, there were a couple of, and I met a lot of guys that I liked a lot, but Mac Hollins was one of the players that stood out the most. You interview 40 guys back to back to back to, they basically gave me one day and they just, player after player would come up and I'd get 10 to 12 minutes with each of them. And of the people that I'm so it's sort of a blur. Mac Hollins stood out to me.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, cause obviously when you're a rookie, you're going into it and you meet like the Leonard Fournettes of the world, the Kareem Hunts of the world, guys that you know, immediately on your radar, Mitch Trubisky, that kind of stuff. So some of the guys that, to your point, he was a fourth round pick, not a lot of quote fantasy buzz around Mac Hollins coming into the year. And he just the kid impressed the hell out of me just in terms of his, just his personality and his intelligence and, frankly, his charisma. Like, he's just a really likable guy. And,
sure.
Anyway, I'm a big Mac, after meeting him, I'm a big Mac Hollins fan. And if I wasn't, I just wouldn't say anything. We'd just move on. But I have to tell you, like, I think a very bright future for Mac Hollins in Philadelphia.
Last name here is one that we talked about earlier on in the show. He is dealing with a knee issue right now, but it's James Conner for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is less because you don't know him. You probably know his story already, a tremendous story, okay, overcoming,
story.
Yeah, surviving cancer and third round pick. So inspirational, played fantastic during his college career at Pitt, and now a very productive, or I should say, has a bright future for the Pittsburgh
and
Steelers.
And they love him. When I went to training camp during my little tour, and he was there, and we had a rain and lightning delay, so the Steelers ended up sort of under, they go to Latrobe, and it's this great high school atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's Arnold Palmer's high school, and it's a cute little town, everybody comes out. But you're at a high school field, and so we kind of have our base camp under the bleachers, and because of the lightning delay, all the Steelers came running in, so we were all like, together. And James Conner was one of the nicest, just most polite, I mean, lovely people down there. And everybody was talking with him, and just other guys, his teammates, the coaches, nonstop raving about him. So I think that speaks volumes, just what kind of person he is. And they are really excited about him. You didn't get to see him the entire preseason because he had that shoulder issue.
Yep.
And now he's got the knee, which will get taken care of. But they love him, and they're very excited about what he can do for them.
And one of the reasons, Field Yates, that I'm sure you're bringing up on the list is obviously Le'Veon Bell's on a one-year deal.
He is on the franchise tag right now. Is it likely he returns to Pittsburgh? I don't know. I would think that he's going to return to Pittsburgh. We never know. They were unable to come to terms on a long-term deal this past offseason, and the reports were that like he was looking for – like astronomical, like wide receiver running back hybrid money, not like top of the market value at running back, but like blow the top off of the running back value, market value. So maybe that's a sign. And Pittsburgh is one of those teams that they draw their lines in the sand, and you know, they obviously have immense respect for Le'Veon Bell, but you never know. And,
well, it's really interesting because he's had the last few years have all ended on an injury.
Yep.
And one of the arguments might be, you know, running backs, shelf life, injury potential, et cetera. But if he's one of the last key guys standing, you know, Antonio Brown has this injury at the end of the season. You've had a couple other big injuries. Maybe if he goes all 17 games might and then beyond, he might better make his case. Yeah.
So we'll see. Certainly a James Conner, easy guy to root for, and we'll see. And if Le'Veon Bell departs, then obviously whoever, whether James Conner or somebody else they add, would be in for a potentially fantasy productive role. So that's all we got today for the show. We're back on Wednesday with the latest in terms of injury updates. I think we'll have some rankings talk. I'm sure we'll find a couple of other things to discuss. In the meantime, watch Matthew Berry's fantasy show at 5 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2.
I'll stop by. Yeah.
That's right. It's 06010 day on the fantasy show. Stefania Bell and Field Yates both making appearances today along with Secret Squirrel. So,
wait, you're gonna
let
me
on
today?
You get to make an appearance today.
You can make an appearance.
Can I be in the segments and stuff?
I don't know that you're gonna get to speak.
Oh.
We haven't worked out whether you get a speaking role, but you will be on screen at least at one point. And, it's on at 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and always available on demand on the ESPN app.
And beyond that, you can find Stefania on social media at Stefania_ESPN and StefaniaB87 on Instagram. Matthew is Matthew Berry TMR everywhere except for the Fantasy Life app where he's at Matthew Berry.
Yep.
I am at Field Yates. I'm coming on the Fantasy Life show too. The Fantasy Show, as Matthew just mentioned.
Yep.
So I'm probably going to talk about, I don't know, basketball. Does that work?
Fair. Whatever. It's week 16.
No, I think you should talk about you and Zac Efron.
That's true. Maybe
that, actually. All right. We're on to something here. We're back on Wednesday. Talk to you guys then.
Peace out.
The theme song of the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. For more great podcasts, listen on the ESPN app or subscribe on iTunes.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you build a giant pillow fort in your living room. And when people ask why you have a pillow fort in your living room, you say it's for your dog. And when they ask, well, what kind? You say, chocolate lab. And weave a web of lies that's almost as intricate as the crown molding in Fort Pillow. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the pillow soft fortress you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.